The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in Luke, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report spread about him through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues, and he was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said that day when he delivered his first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth. The big reveal, the hometown boy who has been called, chosen, anointed to be the Messiah of God, to bring the Spirit of the Lord bodily in the flesh to this world. And they can tell there's an energy to this guy that they haven't experienced before. You know, and it draws people, it compels people. And it caused disciples to follow him and crowds to follow him everywhere. And it still does to this day. And it's not a strange new spirit that's in Jesus. No, it's the same Spirit of God that's mentioned 390 times in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God that in the very first verses of the Bible says there was chaos and darkness everywhere, and the Spirit of God was flowing over all of that. And then the Spirit of God said, "Let there be light," and there's light. There's order in the chaos. There's creation happening. That same Spirit of creation is the same Spirit that is mentioned now 24 times in the Gospel of Luke. Clearly it's important to Luke, the writer of this Gospel. It comes from the Annunciation of Mary with the Spirit on her, to the Word of God coming to Zechariah the priest, to John the Baptist's dad, and to Simeon and Anna, the old folks in the temple who have been just praying that before the day they die, they could see the Lord's Messiah, and they do. They see the baby Jesus in the temple in the Spirit. And now we see how Jesus was baptized in the Spirit, and that same Spirit that drove him into the wilderness for 40 days has now led him, launched him into this ministry right in his hometown of Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord infused not just Jesus, but in the Bible it also infused communities that are listed throughout the whole of Scriptures. In our Old Testament reading that Kent just read with us, the Spirit of the Lord fell mightily on the people in Jerusalem, those people who had been exiled in Babylon and have now returned. They were exiled in about 587, and in 445 or so, they're returning along with to their spiritual center, Jerusalem, that is now, of course, in shambles and ruins because the temple had been absolutely destroyed. And so Nehemiah the builder and Ezra the priest lead these people who have returned in rebuilding their temple and rebuilding their center of spiritual life. And this new temple is practically a tar paper shack compared to what King Solomon's temple was in all its glory, right? But it's something. But in the midst of their digging through the rubble to rebuild this temple, they find the scrolls of the Torah that have been buried there for all these years, for over 100 years, and for the first time, they get to hear the word of the Lord, the Torah. Ezra has them standing all around in the, as they say, the water gate, And he shares it from morning to night. They're sharing the whole of the Torah with the people. And as he's reading something they haven't heard, there's weeping going on in the people. They're weeping, they're sobbing, partly maybe because they're starting to realize how far away from God's will they've wandered in their exile. Maybe they're weeping in sadness because they've missed this for so long. They've missed the spiritual center in God's word that they had for so long. Maybe there's even tears of joy that at least finally we have a temple, a center, a spiritual center again, you know? But you notice what Ezra says to them? He says, okay, stop crying, stop grieving, stop weeping, because you know what? This is a holy day to the Lord. We're celebrating because we are home, back to the center in the spirit of the Lord. And we are going to celebrate. You're going to bring out your best meat with the most fat on it and the best of your wine. And yes, you're going to share it with the least, the lost, the left out, because they all belong in this good news too. But we're going to celebrate because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The joy of the Lord is your strength, he says to them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Whoa. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. The same Spirit was on those people in Jerusalem. And indeed, it's the same Spirit of the Lord that's everywhere in all creation, all the time. It's just that when we're open to it, it has the power to transform us and to change the world around us through us. That's what it has the power to do. So how can you tell when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Well, it kind of is like this. It's really pretty obvious. It's no great mystery. People go, what's the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not that mysterious. The Holy Spirit is present. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. When you feel more courageous, that's the Spirit of the Lord. When you're willing to take risks for the sake of the good news. When you feel more accepting of the people around you who are even different than you are, that's the Spirit of the Lord upon you. When you experience yourself at peace, even in a distressing situation, that's the Spirit of the Lord upon you. When you feel this joy you can't contain sometimes, that's the Spirit of the Lord upon you. It's not that mysterious. It's in you so many times, day in and day out. At various moments, you can tell the Spirit's in you. It's the very same Spirit of God that was in Jesus that day. And you notice this? The Spirit of the Lord is not condemning. It's not shaming. It's not fear-provoking. It's positive energy. It's empowering energy, just as it was in Jesus. Only it was in him completely, unlike us. Now, like the returning exiles who heard the word of the Lord and received it, you know, you can tell when whole communities, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon them as well. If there's one way I hear Lord of Life talked about by our new members and by but all sorts of folks around, they say Lord of Life has this positive spirit, this positive energy that's infectious. It's warming, it's presence, it's welcoming, and people feel so drawn into that power, that spiritual power, see? And by the way, you know, that's just how God works. It's the Spirit that's working right through this place. And we're going to take a look at just a few of them on this annual meeting Sunday here. How has the Spirit of Life, of the Lord, been on Lord of Life in this last year? So the first word in our mission statement is what? Growing together in faith. You all know that, right? In that area, as Al was mentioning, as of today, there's about 50 or so people who've signed up to do the Bible in 90 days again. How cool is that? Because, let me remind you, any spiritual renewal in the church, in the history of the whole church, has started with Scripture, with renewing ourselves in Scripture. Reformation started with Luther rediscovering the grace of God in Scripture. And so all these years, rediscovering the power of the Spirit in the Word of God. And I hope you might consider doing it. Maybe you did it before. Maybe you want to do it again. This time, I'm going to do it again in Spanish. Maybe you can join me in that. We'll see. And there are moments also now in our faith life together as a congregation, like this one. Faithful families meet once a month on a Sunday evening to hear the Word of God in the context of their families and how to infuse the Spirit of the Lord God into their families. How cool is that? Or there's Luther Hill Day Camp that happened again this last year. Look at this. When you come into the building during Luther Hill Day Camp, there's so much energy in this place you can't hardly stand it. It's so full of energy. The Spirit of the Lord upon this place, you know? Not to mention our consistently good Spirit-filled confirmation program, Via de Cristo weekends that infuse so many people with the Spirit of the Lord, on and on. Then secondly, centered in Christ. That's the second part of our mission statement, right? This last Christmas Eve saw record attendance at our four very incredible, unique worship services. 1,300 people. Here we have our little angels who are celebrating and singing the birth of Christ, huh? And the kids who came to gather to hear this word, and the people who gathered to light the light that reminds us that even in the darkest of times, a light shines in the darkness, the light of the Christ. What a profound experience that was. Not to mention the Spirit of the Lord that's been upon Rob Hunt here all these years, these 6 years we've been privileged to have him with us, right? Hasn't that been amazing? What an incredible experience. And then, just the sheer joy of celebrating last winter the opening of our Welcome Center, as James was talking about it. How cool is that? Then thirdly, this area of serving God's world with love. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a church that does it with such energy and fun, serving the Lord. Here's the Hands of Faith, this next image here, at its annual sale, holiday sale. Record sales at the market. And what happens with that? We are able to support families around the world and give them a just pay for all of their goods, their coffee, their chocolate, the things they make. They get a decent wage to support their families. How cool is that? And we have such fun with it. And the next thing, Jim Card here taking our 150 gift boxes down to the seafarers who got this as their only gift this Christmas down at the Port of Houston. Isn't that cool? We have so much fun doing this stuff. It's great. Then Pastor Aradita with some of the people on one of our mission trips to Lima, Peru, to our partner church, and a bunch of our college kids were just there around New Year's on a mission trip. Incredible, incredible stuff. And perennially, this, the raucous fun we have at our pig roast, when we put in effort to raise like $30,000 for people in need in our community. How cool is that? Don't we have fun with it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. You see that? That's the Spirit of the Lord at work. So now the question will be, we're coming up on our 50th anniversary, Lord of Life 2020. We're going to be starting our strategic planning this next weekend with the leadership retreat. And the question to ask is, how will the Spirit of the Lord be upon us in 2020 and beyond? Maybe the next 50 years. So we're going to invite you, as we prepare for this, to go put things on the wall of wonder of the last 50 years of Lord of Life. It's in the fellowship hall. Just grab a marker or grab a sticky note and write on it and put on memories you have of the 50 years that you know about, both the events and people that are part of Lord of Life's journey, and also in the middle of what's been happening in our world, our nation, and in Texas, and who are some of those people, and on the bottom, what's been happening in our local community, and who's been part of that. So we can look at where has the impact of Lord of Life been? Where has the Spirit of the Lord been upon us in this time, in this place? And then we can ask, what next? What next? Because the Scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. Every time you open the Word, every time you open yourself up to the Spirit of the living God, guess what you have? The joy of the Lord is your strength, our strength. Even in difficult times, don't weep or moan or cry, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And who knows how God's going to lead us in His Spirit in these coming years. I can hardly wait to see.